You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 193, Education Choice. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? Hey friends, I'm super excited about this podcast. It is so fitting because did you know, I did not know this, but I found out there is a National School Choice Week, and it is January 22nd through January 28th this year. And so how fitting to get to do this interview with Allison. And Allison is trying to really help people in Utah to have more choice with their education. So I'm really excited to share this interview with you. It is very informative for those of you in Utah, but those of you outside of Utah, you may still want to listen to this podcast because maybe this is something that you would like to see in your own state. And she shares some ideas of how you can implement something like this in your state if your state already has something like this. So you are not going to want to miss this interview with Allison Sorensen. Friends, I am in love with doing interviews lately. This is, I think it's fun. I might be adding them in maybe once a month now, just because it's fun to just, I don't know, maybe get sick of hearing from me. Maybe not. You're nice if you don't, but it's also fun to have other people. So I have the lovely Allison Sorensen on today. And Allison, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Meg. It's so fun to be on here with you and chat with you. I'm the mother of five. So my oldest is 10. He just turned 10 January 1st.
Oh, fun.
So that's fun. He is on the autism spectrum. And then I have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
So it's a party. It's a party at your house.
It is a party at my house. And the four oldest are all boys. So it is like loud and chaotic.
Yeah.
And a lot of wrestling. And we don't
I have five boys. I get it.
Okay. Yeah. We don't have a lot of nice things because what's the point? Like it just doesn't.
We have a big yard. That's what.
Yes.
Like, go outside.
Exactly. Exactly. So we have a lot of Duplos and Legos. That's what we do. And
so
it's a ton of fun. It's a ton of fun. So that's my home life. And I got involved in like education and policy and just fell in love with it. Actually, when my family moved here, I was in a different school every year until high school.
Oh, wow. From moving or
from, yeah, mostly
or
from
are you
moving?
Getting kicked out all the time?
Good question.
Yeah,
no moving. So moving, thankfully I wasn't kicked out, moving, but also my parents wanted to find an education that fit for us too. And they were kind of like, you know, figuring that out. And so we did kind of a mix of, traditional school and charter schools. It was kind of early on, you know, I think it's kind of a little bit of a new thing. And then we moved here to Utah and my parents just weren't in love with the options that they had. So they actually did do some homeschool stuff. And I don't think homeschool went very well over for me because I was like in high school when they started and we had never had that kind of tradition, if that makes sense. Like there's kind of like a routine that you get when you traditionally homeschool all the time. And we didn't have that. And so I didn't get credit behind, but it was kind of like, okay, you're like in 10th grade. Maybe this isn't the time to start homeschooling. This isn't quite working for us. But they did do it for a couple of years with my younger siblings and really enjoyed it. And at that time, I just got really into politics and education policy and how things function and things that way. So went on and got my degree in political science and business, and then worked in the legislature for some legislators here in Utah. Mm-hmm. And then worked for some nonprofits, Sutherland Institute and the Charter School Association, and then worked at a private school that actually educated dropout students across the country, which was really fun.
Yeah.
And then was a vice principal at a first year charter high school in Davis County.
Very cool.
So that was super fun. But then I spent the last decade raising my kids.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing to do. So
exactly.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, I'm excited to have Allison here for multiple reasons. She's a blast, but also Utah is coming up with some pretty cool ideas. And I talked about this on Instagram. I don't know how long ago, but do you remember ages ago, they used to say one size fits all, like there were shirts or skirts. I think there was skirts, like these scrunchy skirts, right? And I look at even my own children and like my husband to me, right? Like my husband's 10 inches taller than I am, right? Like one size does not fit all. So you can imagine like my giant children from this giant husband and my daughter, we tease because she's so much taller than me. And the next one's close behind. And obviously my sons are way taller than me. And so there is really no such thing as one size fits all. Yep. And I'm so excited about this because Utah is trying to do something different about it. And so this is a little bit directed towards all my lovely listeners that live in Utah. But also those of you in other states, there are different programs like this happening, and you can also encourage your representatives to encourage these programs. But I wanted Allison on here to talk about Utah Fits All, because one size does not fit all for children with education.
No.
Right. And you could even quickly say like the different things you've done with your kids with education.
Yeah.
Right. Like you've been all over the place.
We have been all over the place. And part of that was just because I knew my kids were different. I mentioned my oldest is on the autism spectrum and we didn't actually find that out until 2020. Like okay. It took us a little while, but we knew something was different about him. Right. We're like, he's going to either kill the teacher or the teacher's going to kill him. Like one way or the other, if there's a classroom of 40 kids, like it's not going well. And so we did like traditional homeschool, like here in Utah, like you send the affidavit to your, school. Mm-hmm. We did that for a little while. We did a charter school called Da Vinci Academy, where you send your kids like 2 days a week, because I was realizing I was getting overwhelmed. I was like, I need a little break, like send them for a couple of days, and then did stuff at home then. And then we did homeschooling through a program here in Utah called My Tech High. Mm-hmm. And we worked on that. And then we've also done total full on charter school. So they were fully enrolled in school at one point as well. And now they are actually, I feel really fortunate. They are in a private school and we get some scholarship money for them to attend private school right now, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I think it's just such a great example that one size isn't right for every family or even every child.
No.
Right? Like, 'cause you have 5 kids and I have my 7 and they are so unique. And it's like one kid likes ground beef. Another kid thinks it's disgusting. One kid will only eat, like, I even think of the way my kids will eat a quesadilla.
Some of them will
cook it in a pan. And my George, my 5-year-old, he will only eat it in the microwave. And I'm like, oh, microwave quesadilla, it's gross. Right. And so it's so interesting that we've had education of like, nope, this is the only way. And I think with just, I don't know if COVID really opened up people's eyes, like, hey, we can do this differently.
Yeah, I think it did, just because everything got flipped on its head during COVID.
Yeah.
And so I think there was just this mentality that shifted to be like, wait a second, why isn't this being flexible with my schedule? And I want my kids in school, but then it's like, hold on, now they're forced to be home. And what are they learning? Because so often I think it's just easy to send them. It's kind of like when I was like, I'm overwhelmed. Like I need them at school now. Like I just can't handle this, a little bit. And it's easy to send them, but sometimes you don't know and you're a little bit disengaged from that. And that's okay. But when we all had to be engaged because of COVID, I think we all just started thinking differently because we were forced to be engaged, which was an awesome thing, really.
Yeah. Well, I think they've even said the number of homeschoolers before COVID was 2 million. And I believe it's up to 5 million now in the United States, right? And so people all of a sudden saw, wait, I had options. Like you can do things online. You can do things in person, right? Like all these things. So I'm excited to talk about Utah Fits All. And it is a bill. Is that the correct word?
Yeah.
Okay. So give us a rundown of the gist of it, of what Utah is trying to do.
Yeah. So right now, and in every state, this is true, right? There's a certain amount of money that is spent on your child. It's usually more complicated than that, but I'm generally speaking, it's like, there's a certain, it's like, we don't need to go into that. Okay.
Yeah.
So basically we talk about this per pupil spending, right? And so we spend a certain amount per child. And right now it's a very much one size fits all system. And it's like, well, this is where you live. And so this is where your money is going and where your kids are going to be educated. And what we really believe is that that's not true, just like you stated. And so we want to take that money. And instead of the government being in charge of it, you as a parent get to be in charge of how it's spent and how you educate your child. And so it really puts that parent in the seat to say, oh, how do I want to educate my kid? So given the bill passes, your child here in Utah would be eligible for $8,000.
Mm-hmm. Per child. Even like per family. Yeah. So giant families like mine.
Yeah.
That's per child.
It's huge. It is a huge amount. And actually in Utah, the average spend is $10,500. Mm-hmm. So we're still not even taking all of that money from the school that gets that money. So $8,000 per kid. And it goes into basically a digital wallet or like an online bank account that you would log in and you'd be able to see all your kids and what, you know, their account balance was basically on that. And then within there, you have all sorts of curriculum providers, education, extracurriculars, and tutors, therapists, you name it, books, whatever you kind of use in your education for your children, frankly, would be in there. And you can use that money to pay for those services and goods and educate your kids.
Yeah. So this is different though, because there are other programs that exist that reimburse you. Right. Because this money's not going into your own pocket. Right.
Correct.
But the other ones are very particular about what they will reimburse. Correct. Like it cannot mention God. It can't like, you know what I mean? So tell me a little bit about what they'll actually reimburse.
Yeah. Perfect. Great question. Yeah. So there are the other programs that like reimburse. And part of the reason that lots of those programs that exist now, particularly in Utah, they are still public school and under public school code. And so they operate under that code. And this, if you participate in this program, it would be outside of that code. So you're not held to the same standards and requirements that a public school is required for. It's a completely separate thing. And you actually would be considered a home educated education scholarship account student. So we would actually not even consider you a homeschool student anymore, because that's a separate piece of code. And we want to protect our homeschoolers that do that, because I totally respect them. And we want to make sure that they are also protected under the law. So we don't touch that. It's like this. So this program is completely separate and sets up this home educated scholarship student. But you can, because that money is coming to you as a parent, and there's been multiple Supreme Court rulings and other things that say, no, you can't violate a parent's right to their First Amendment. So you can spend this on religious schools or religious curriculums. And we've included in the bill as much as we possibly can to give you maximum flexibility on how the funds can be used. Like, I think there's like a page and a half of like just a list of all the things with the disclaimer at the bottom that's like, or anything else necessary in the education of your child. It's like, we just want to leave it open because every child is unique. Like you said, it's like, every child is so different and there's so many nuances to each child, right? There's
absolutely
so many things. I mean, with seven, I can't even imagine. Like there's just every little thing. Like there's obviously family things, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's all the little tiny pieces, and that might be a little addition here in the math curriculum, or a little thing here with music, or a little thing here with art, or maybe it's a lot of hands-on learning and there's a lot of, you know, field trips and outdoors type of that. Like we want to make sure that you can have that completely unbundled education and to customize it as closely as you can to meet every need that your child has.
It's so powerful. Just like I've been homeschooling for 15 years, right?
Amazing.
And so like, this is blowing my mind that like I've homeschooled for like $100 or, you know what I mean? Like, like we are on a budget, friends. We cannot do this. And so just to have options, like, I can't imagine when I had my first six, when I had number six, like I was in a space that I'm like, somebody, I just need a 2-hour break. I just want 2 hours alone. Mm-hmm. And like now with even offering this, you have more people knowing like, hey, I could get paid to do these services. And now you're getting more options available. So I just think everyone starts winning.
Yes. No, that's exactly it. I mean, it is, I think part of it is, and I think one thing that I've heard a couple of times is they're like, I homeschool for, like you said, it's like $100. Like I don't need $8,000 to homeschool my kids. And I think part of what we don't think about because we've been living here is we don't even know the possibilities. Like we don't even, when you don't know what you don't know, right? It's like, how do I encapsulate that? And right now the demand isn't very high, but you start to open up where it's like, oh, there's actually other options. And what they've seen, like in a state like Arizona, who's probably most like us demographically, when you think about Utah, and other things, there's so many incredible opportunities that open up for kids.
And yes,
they told us about this one cool thing. It was like this old retired guy, but he loved woodworking. And, you know, woodworking is kind of a dead art. Like there's not a lot of people that really do that anymore. But he felt really passionate about it. He actually created, I think he's in his like 60s or 70s. He created an online class on how to do woodworking that now they get a purchase. And you think, I love, like my kids love hands-on stuff.
Right.
I would love to do something like that, to go figure out, oh, well, how do I do this? And what does this look like? And those type of opportunities don't become available until you create a market that demands them. And so yes, kind of options, all those things start popping up.
Well, it's so funny because, so I'm a big fan of the free market, right?
Yeah.
And so it was so funny because my husband, we were actually talking about public school hasn't been challenged very well.
No.
So yeah, if you think of the success rate, right? Like, so if I'm buying a program and somebody's like guaranteed, like spend $1,000 with me and you are going to like, so for example, I hired a coach last year who's like, I can get you to finish an Ironman. And if she would have been like, I don't know, I guess run a little bit, it wouldn't kill you to swim, right? And I didn't get the results. Like she would lose her job. She would, nobody would hire her. Right. And nobody, like, if you look at the success rate of public education, we have a lot of kids who can't read. I don't know if I have a guilty pleasure of watching Instagram reels and they'll go around and ask people like, who is the second president of the United States? And people are like, I don't know, but I'm drunk as a skunk and I can tell you I'm having a good time. The free market always makes things better. And I
always, like,
a funny example to me is Little Caesars. Little Caesars did their hot and fresh $5 pizza.
Oh, yes.
And what happened to the whole pizza industry?
Everyone's at $5.
Everybody had to compete, right? Like, okay, so maybe I'm not going to be a $5 pizza, but my ingredients are going to be much fresher. I'm going to have better dough. So yes, you are going to pay more for me. So I just love the idea of making education free market, because when there's competition, things have to get better.
Yes, exactly. And isn't it amazing, in a country that was like founded on principles of free market and freedom and all those things, we have a socialist education system. Yeah. And like you go to Sweden, which is a socialist country, and they actually have a free market education system. They give parents the money. They instead of just like creating, they actually give parents the money and the parents go choose how to educate their kids. I think it's like so fascinating. It blows my mind every time I think about it.
I'm like, oh, I have to check that out.
Sweden? Really? Okay, cool.
Okay, so now we get to talk about the stuff that are people's concerns, right? Because this all sounds wonderful and magical. Yeah. And I have one more question before I get there. Oh, yeah. How long does it take to get reimbursed? Because I know with some of the programs in Utah, you have to keep receipts for a year.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Right? Like I've never done those programs because
that's a lot of work.
Nothing. I just don't care enough. And my books mention God. So like, what would I be paying for?
I don't know. Yeah. I was like, you have seven kids, so I don't know that I could keep receipts for a year either. Like couldn't do that. There's far more.
I enjoy my sanity.
So most purchases will be purchased within the system. So you won't have to create any receipts at all. If you decide there's something that you want to purchase that is not already available kind of within this system already, there is a process for reimbursement. It should not take more than like 90 days though. It should be a pretty quick turnaround, because they basically would get your receipt. They'd say, okay, was this used for the education of your child? Is this necessary? Does it meet with them something on this list? Yes. Great. Okay. Here's the money and reimbursed for it.
Okay. So, awesome. Yeah. Okay. So here are some concerns I've heard from homeschoolers.
Okay.
Okay, so let's dive in. First of all, not a lot of homeschoolers, because we have a lot of new homeschoolers, but I guess I would say veteran homeschoolers are very, very worried about government involvement with their children's education.
Yep.
So their concerns are, once the government has their foot in the door with your funds, now they can control your homeschool.
Yeah. So first, I really respect that concern, because I am about as anti-government as you can get. Like I'm a very far libertarian. Like we could go down that rabbit hole.
Right.
But I also recognize like kind of the world we live in. So number one, we made it really clear. And I told you earlier, like we are not touching homeschool code here in the state of Utah. So homeschoolers that want to educate under an affidavit and submit that with their district and stay out of it. We have incredible homeschool code here, which actually was just changed to be even like really, really good a handful of years ago, because people saw that the homeschool code was like actually could have come in function. It was working fine, but they could have come down on a bunch of homeschoolers just a couple of years ago here in the state, and they didn't. So they tightened that up, and we are not touching that. We want to make sure that those homeschoolers who want that continue to have the autonomy to do that. And we don't.
Okay. That's a really great distinction. So let me make this clear. So there's homeschoolers. So like what I've been doing, mm-hmm. I could just keep my affidavit and not worry about it. I don't have to apply for these funds. The government can't do anything. Correct. Yep.
Exactly.
So this would be like your own type of school, your education specialist now, and you would fall under that umbrella.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So what is the government involvement then, as far as what you can and cannot do if you are applying for that scholarship?
Correct. Yep. Perfect. So this would be a home educated scholarship student. And the only accountability or whatever that we want to say is in the bill is financial, because they are tax dollars. We want to ensure that they're actually being spent on the education of your child. And so that's part of having that online system where everything's kind of closed. Like we're not just sending you a check for $8,000 for every kid.
That's what I was hoping for, because I want to travel.
That would be super fun.
Yeah.
But because we're not doing that. Yeah. We have not gotten travel expenses approved. Oh man, list.
Please work on that.
So to be able to keep that there, that's the biggest thing. So there are random audits that will be run on scholarship accounts to say, okay, like, does this seem like normal activity or whatever going on there? There's also random audits run on programs and curriculum providers and all of those education providers to ensure that they're using the funds appropriately. But that is the only accountability that we have put in the bill. And that is because the free market really becomes the accountability piece.
Right.
Because if the provider isn't providing a good education, then they're gone.
And because now you have funds to find something better.
Exactly. It's just like if the restaurant, like think about during COVID made it, and maybe COVID isn't the best example, but like if the restaurant opens and they have bad food, they go out of business. It's pretty simple, right? It's like, no one goes. You got sick, your neighbor got sick. It's like, no one goes, it's gone, it's closed. We move on. And the free market becomes available in this type of a system because no one's dictating it. And one of the fun things that's actually in the bill that I'm excited about that helps to promote that free market. And I think we all use like a tool, like a Yelp or like the Google reviews or something like that. Right. So within the system, all of the providers, the parents who are receiving scholarship get to rank and all of the providers. So they get to put ratings on them and write reviews of them and everything there. And so you can go into it and be like, oh, well, I'm looking for this. What's good for a child who's, you know, 8, but reading at a 10th grade level, or, you know what I mean? Like what's going to be good for this? And you can search all those reviews and find out, oh, this is going to be the best place.
Well, I even think like just with all the Facebook groups I'm in within Utah, like I'm in Utah County, Southern Utah, like I just am in a lot of Facebook groups, right?
Awesome.
Word of mouth is pretty darn quick. Like, hey, I hired this lady to do this and it was terrible, or it was amazing. Everybody, like as soon as she has a spot open. So I feel like a lot of that would naturally just happen. Resolve itself.
Yep. It would. It totally would. No, it absolutely would. And I think so many, I think the homeschool community in particular is so good at that, because you've had to find resources outside, right?
Well, you're scrappy.
Exactly. That's what makes you so good at what you do. It's probably why I didn't survive for too long. Cause I was like, oh my gosh, guys.
I was raised by a single mom who worked full time. Right. So I'm like super scrappy.
You can like figure out how to do it. It's awesome. I love it. So it's, but the free market takes over.
And okay. So, oh, sorry. I cut you off.
No, you're good. There's just a lot of accountability in the free market because people can fail. And I think we need to be comfortable with schools and education providers failing, because that's actually okay. It's a good thing.
Right?
It's a good thing. Yeah.
Agree. Okay. So let's say I apply for the scholarship. So you do have to apply every year. And you said the application process is fairly simple, correct?
Yeah. You just like, because the only qualifications are that you have to be a resident of Utah and your child has to be eligible for K-12. That's it. Those are the only requirements. So you would just like fill out the little application. There's only going to be a certain amount of money available for these scholarships.
Right.
Which therefore limits the scholarships. So in the case, and I anticipate that we will, in the case that we don't have enough money to fill everyone who has applied, there is a prioritization given to those that are low income. And that's based on the federal poverty line and other things. And that's simply because the belief is, well, they have zero access to any other option. And so we need to give them first priority.
Okay. Very cool. So let's say I'm using this, but I want one of my kids to go to a charter school. Does that charter school, like, what did they used to get? So like, if you're saying Utah for education gets 10,000, I'll just say 10,000.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And my kid was enrolled in a program like My Tech High. Okay. My Tech never got that full 10,000, correct?
Correct.
So what did they used to get or currently getting? Or do you know? Sorry,
I'm like trying to understand exactly the question. Okay. So if your child is not attending school.
Right. So like my kids, right now, no matter, like the school's been taking 10 grand from me for a year, right? Yes. It's all my kids. It's just a cash cow.
Yes.
If I were to put them into a charter school, that charter school would receive $8,000
for that
child. What are they currently receiving?
Okay. So
sorry, I like to ask things in a fun way.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm like, hold on, let me wrap Follow my head around me. This. And part of it is just the education funding is like kind of complicated. And I want to talk about it in these simple terms, like, hey, yes, your kid just like gets $8,000 and falls into the school. It doesn't actually work that way at all.
Okay.
So there is an amount of money that the school gets for having a child in a seat. We call it butts and seats, right?
Okay.
It's like if the child is sitting in the seat, then they get a certain amount of money.
Right.
That amount is approximately $4,000.
Okay.
That is only 30 to 40% of the money that that school gets for that child. The other part of the money comes from what we call restricted funds, and they're for very specific programs. That school may or may not operate. So there's like transportation, there's K-3 reading, there's arts programs, there's tech programs, there's all these other pieces. And so all those pieces together start to equal that money. The other part, that's all income tax money in Utah.
Okay.
And the other part of it is your property tax dollars. So people complain all the time about their property taxes because we like get that property tax bill. They're horrible. Yeah, they're awful.
Mine went up.
Like, here we are again. Yeah. And the property tax dollars, there's a significant amount of your property tax dollars that also go to fund education. Most of that money is caught up in buildings
in
that district. So that's kind of where a lot of that money ends up going. So that's what they're getting. It's not as clean as we want to think it is.
Okay. So sorry, I asked a more complicated question.
I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. So another concern I heard was that if private schools can now accept this money, because charter schools are still a government school, right?
It's so still a public school. Yep.
Yeah. So they're going to be the same, but a private school, they can have religion. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And people are worried that once you start receiving government money, how is the government not going to take God out or start putting control and restrictions on them?
Yeah, totally. Great question. So we actually have really good Supreme Court rulings that have protected that. And they've basically said, if you provide a program like this, you cannot, because it becomes the private choice of the parent where that money goes, you cannot violate their First Amendment rights to religion. Wow. And so that's really what it comes down to, is it's like, because the money is not going to the school, the money is going to the parent. And then that parent is making a private decision.
Okay.
So that money, once you give the money to the parent, it's the parent's money. It's no longer your money. It's not public money. It's not government money. It's not anything like that. It's like, no, that's the parent's money now, because you chose to give it to them And therefore that parent makes private decisions, and those private decisions, you actually don't get to dictate them anymore.
Yeah. So it was really interesting because, like, I'm all on board. Taxation is theft.
Yes,
like,
amen.
I get it. I get that 100%. Mm-hmm. But like you said, this is the world we live in.
Yeah.
And I'm mm-hmm. not about to start a revolution.
As like, much as I would love to in my potential anarchist tendencies. Yeah.
Right. So that was one thing. I really don't like Facebook fights, and somehow like people keep jumping at me recently, and I'm like, okay, never mind. I'm out. Like, think what you want to think. But this was one that she was like, you are robbing your neighbors. You are stealing from all these citizens. And to me, like, I thought about that for a while, because either way, the money is being taken. Mm-hmm. And so for 15 years, that money, I haven't seen a dime of it.
Right.
And I've paid my taxes all these years. And I know like that it goes into a pool, and people who don't even have kids in school, like myself, have still been paying into this fund.
Yep.
So like, to me, I love that. Like, now I have a say of my own tax dollars because I'm not about to start an uprising and go to jail because I'm not going to pay my taxes and start going out and shooting up things because I want to pay my taxes. So like, because we're in a world that does have taxes, and I mean, you can fight whatever you want on that, but like, what are your thoughts with that when people are, I don't know, have you been attacked for that one, or is it just me?
Oh yeah. Okay. No, it's not just you, Meg. We can go and sell, share battle stories later on that. So no, and that's, I totally get it, because it is, we could have a philosophical discussion about whether or not public education should be public and we should use tax dollars to fund it. Like, we could totally have that conversation. And if we did, I would be like, heck no, we don't. Like, sorry, like, we shouldn't even have this. And the history of public ed and how it came about and industrial
revolution. I was like, read the Communist Manifesto, friend.
Right. Like, there's all sorts of pieces that I can be like, I will tell you what they're doing with your children in public ed. Okay. There's lots of evidence to say what's happening. And I would love to be able to turn back the dial on government and be like, no, you only get to tax me for roads or whatever. Right.
Right.
But the reality is, this is where we live, and turning back that dial, I wish it were possible, but I'm a Jesus girl. I'm like, please, Jesus, come back. Like, can you fix this? Okay. So that's like where I go to.
Because I've heard that so many times.
I don't know what to do. And so I look at it and say, look, I have an option here. We can let the government continue to tax us, because they're going to continue to tax us. In Utah, you are going to get a tax cut this year because we have tons of money, but.
Well, good. Cause we're self-employed. So we get taxed a lot.
There you go. Yes, exactly. I understand.
Yeah.
And so you can, the reality is, it is what it is. And,
right.
And you, and I would love to go and fight that battle. It's just not the battle that seems
reasonable. I will let you fight that battle.
Yes. It's not winnable. And I like to win. Everyone likes to win.
Right.
It's not a winnable battle. And so I can either say, I trust government to spend my tax dollars, or I trust parents to spend my tax dollars. And in the end, I choose parents every day of the week, hands down, no questions asked. Like, if I'm going to trust them up in government, like, I've seen how they send budgets. It's ridiculous.
Right.
It's like literally pulling numbers out of the hat. They're like, I think $500,000 sounds like a good increase. I'm like, why do you think that? What's going on? There's no rhyme or reason to it. And so in the end, I trust parents more than I trust government. And so I'm going to want the money to go to the parents to make choices.
So it's interesting, because a website I actually referred to, and I hope I say it right, but it's the Homeschool Lawyer Association, like HSLDA or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they're really, really great. I actually direct a lot of people to them. Like, here are your laws for your state, like affidavit. But that's one of the things, is that they are so against all of these states because, like you said, Arizona's been doing this. Who else? Mm-hmm. I know them off
Florida,
the top of your head.
Florida, West Virginia, Nebraska's looking at something. No, not Nebraska.
Was it Texas?
Oklahoma, Texas. I think Indiana's looking at something. Iowa's looking at something. Missouri's looking at something. Like, it's everywhere at this point.
Yeah. So it's so interesting, because that was one of the things somebody was like, well, these attorneys said, don't support this. And I thought, I don't know. Like, why? They're just, I've been, the elementary is like half a mile down the street, and I'm tired of giving you how many kids do I have at home right now? So $40,000 a year.
Yep.
And I'm not even asking for all of it.
Yeah. I think the struggle. So here's where I think it's bad. And I want to be a little bit careful in saying this.
Okay.
Only because I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. So I programs that are district contractors. So like MyTech High and Harmony.
Okay.
That are here in the state of Utah.
And I know MyTech's in other states as well.
Yeah. MyTech is they're in a couple of other states as well. And what they are is they're district contractors. I think they've kind of held themselves up as a charter school or like something else.
One of my kids is enrolled in it and he's technically in a charter school.
Yeah. So he is one of my kids is in MyTech High right now and they're technically in Tooele County School District.
Yes.
Right. And there's been a bunch of stuff on Tooele, but the reality, we're not going down that rabbit hole either. So the reality is those people, they are operating under public school code.
Right.
And so the money that they are getting into their program, that district is getting all of the money for that student that they're not educating. And then MyTech High gets a small portion of that. And then they keep a portion of that and then send the rest on to the parent. And so the school is having to be accountable to all of the regulations under public school code, including federal code, because they fall under that because they receive federal money for those students. And so we've seen, and I don't think we've seen it quite as much in this state, but we've seen in California and we've seen, I think it's Nebraska or Kansas, maybe Indiana, where these programs have cropped up. And what's happened over time is they've clamped farther and farther down. And they've been like, well, no, now you have to teach this curriculum and you have to do this and you have to do this.
Yes. That's a lot of people's concern.
Yeah. And the reason is because those programs are still under public school code.
Oh, interesting.
And they're still public school kids held accountable to all the regulations in public school and the federal money that comes into it. And so these private school choice programs are outside of that code. It's a completely different bedroom. It's a completely different house.
Right.
Like we might be on the same block, but we are in a different house with a different structure and a different floor plan. Like your floor plan looks like this. There's a lot of walls and a lot of red tape and a lot of hallways. And you got to walk a certain direction to get to every room, right? That's this house over here. And like our house on the same block is like open floor plan. Like, take your pick, whatever you want to do, like let's flow. And so that's really the problem is unfortunately those programs, and obviously I have used those programs. I'm using the program right now. It's great. But they've given a bad taste to this over here because it appears on the outside to be very similar. I'm getting $1,800. I get to be reimbursed. I'm doing my thing. But the reality is you're still falling under code that has very stringent regulations and accountability and testing and mandates on that school where your child's enrolled. Whereas this program doesn't have any of that. You're not enrolled in a school, you're in a totally different place.
Okay. And you were talking to me about this earlier before we started recording is because then people are like, well, what's the chance that Utah or any state won't start encroaching? But you said that Utah has had a voucher law for how long and like what has that been?
Yeah, we've had a voucher program for kids with special needs since I think 2002. No, it wouldn't be 2000, like 2003, 2004. Okay. It's been a long time. And we've had that voucher program. It's worked great. And I think it's also interesting, the voucher program, maybe the amounts have gone up, but like when it was originally passed, it was only $3,000 and $6,000. And it was only for private schools. So vouchers are also very different than education spending accounts, which is what the Utah Fits All is. Vouchers are direct payments to private schools. So it's actually even a tighter government loop because the check is coming from the government to the school. Actually even a tighter place. Whereas like the checks over here go to the parent and then the parent disperses that money in the ESA. And so it's a different program. It's a tighter loop, but there's never been more in government encroachment on those checks. And the people who in this state, the schools who use that most are mostly religious schools, are mostly Catholic schools. That's kind of our biggest private school network here in the state. And frankly, across the United States, the Catholic schools have a massive network of
that's schools. Funny. I actually was listening to a podcast talking about that the Catholic religion did a really good job of protecting their kids. So like, they way to go.
Yeah. I am like really jealous of the Catholics. The more that I've like talked with them and talked about their education system, I'm like, man, you guys had this figured out. That was brilliant. Yeah. I mean, it really was. It was a brilliant. Yeah. And they educate a lot of kids. There's another concern just randomly, because it kind of loops in here, about private schools increasing tuition when they get
yes.
And I think it's fascinating when you go talk, because now I've talked with all these private schools across the state and different things, because making sure that they're comfortable with this, about these same concerns, because they would have similar concerns, and making sure they're okay. And the reality is, they are educating kids for far less than the scholarship is now, because they see it as a calling. They see it as,
oh wow,
as a service and as a calling for them. And the struggle is, they are fighting being able to stay open and operate, because they're serving so many kids that way.
Yeah.
And not being able to meet books and pay teachers and do what's required of them to stay open. And so that's really the struggle that they're having in their space right now.
Okay. So what other concerns have you heard? Like, I've just been surprised at the backlash I got from homeschoolers. I thought homeschoolers would be more excited. Let's be honest. I think excited is my favorite feeling. And right. So when people like are maybe not excited, too. That I'm right. Like, what? Like, I don't know. It always blows me out of water. But like, what other concerns have you heard from homeschoolers opposing this?
I think the other one, which I think we maybe addressed a little bit, but there is a thing in the state constitution about paying, like the state cannot have religious schools mm-hmm. or pay for them or whatever. And I think that's, we've had a voucher program, obviously we've been doing it. So it's there, but there's been several other states with that also have that. And part of what, because a handful of states, including ours, were really settled by the Mormons, mm-hmm. When they went to get statehood, part of the agreement to have statehood was that you could not have set up a government religious school. So because they knew that what the Catholics had done in all of that, they didn't want any states setting up government religious schools. And so that's really what those clauses are. And the Supreme Court has ruled on that and said, no, as long as they're private decisions of the parents. So that I think has been kind of something I've heard from the homeschoolers as well. I think the biggest concern we really talked about, and that they're most concerned about, the government starting to dictate
100%
what is in their homeschool. And I appreciate that concern. And that's where I tell them, I'm like, look, you don't have to take it. Yeah, I totally get it. 100%. Yeah,
like I have my tinfoil hat too, friends.
Yes, exactly. I do. Like I've gone to all the meetings, guys. I've watched all the things. Like I was in the Glenn Beck rally originally in DC. Like I've done the stuff. I'm here with you. I've read all the books. I've seen all the things. I'm like, yep, I think all these people are terrible. So I am like 100%. And so I get that concern and I say, awesome. I want to make sure that we protect homeschool code. The reality is, just like we changed the homeschool code a handful of years ago mm-hmm. to make it better, with or without this law, the government could decide today that homeschoolers are awful, and they could decide that if you turn in your affidavit, that you have to do state testing and you have to meet with a certified teacher and you have to do whatever it is. Like they could decide that today, whether or not
this passes.
And
that's such an interesting perspective, right? Because we think we get into a rhythm and we're like, oh, good, we're fine, we're protected. Right. But like the reality is things could flip on a dime tomorrow.
They could. And that's like, and I think that when you look at California, that's what's happened. I mean, you can't homeschool in California anymore. You can, but it doesn't look like homeschool, like you do homeschool, right? It just looks so different. And so I think that's the reality, is that if we are not vigilant citizens, which I think homeschoolers probably do the best at educating their kids, it's like, you have to be a vigilant citizen and educated and understand things. And unless you do that, your rights are always threatened, because government will always get bigger. And they will always try to take more and more of your money and try to encroach on your rights. And I hate that. It's everything that I hate about government, But unfortunately, that is what it is, which is why I say, okay, Jesus, just come back before it gets too bad.
Well, but here's what I think, like from a hopeful perspective. So you have five babies and mm-hmm. you are in teaching them, and whether they're in private or whatever else you've yeah. done, like these are values that you are implementing in your home.
Right.
Like this is what we're doing is right. Like I yep. add seven to the gang, a lot of homeschoolers, yes. not every homeschooler has a huge family. Right. But like sometimes often it is yeah. the case.
Yes.
That I do believe in birth control, but apparently yeah. it doesn't work. To me, like getting more kids the opportunity to have this type of education yes. where it's yep. like, we stand up for what's right. We do not oppress people. We understand, yep. like, I mean, look at Venezuela. Yep. My kids, we went on a deep dive into Venezuela of like what happened there. Right. And understanding the political part of it. So we have all these kids. And if all of a sudden we have a really nice mom who's like, I don't know, I have to work. And how am I going to yeah. do this with my kids? And it's like, yep. hey, now you can do it. Now yeah. we are actually taking the next generation who will be our government workers, who yep. will be our voters, yep. who are going to protect us. Yep. And so why not create this legion
yes.
of amazing children, yes. right? Like,
yep.
not to be Amen. Dark, but like you had Hitler's youth.
right. No, exactly. Right? Like, yes.
We need, yes. I know a lot of people here are yes. religious, right? So like, this is God's army.
Yes.
And like for the greater good and not, not more restrictions and more yes. force or anything like that, yep. but like give yep. people back their rights.
Yep. No, that's how I see it. Is I'm like, I think there's a lot of families who would do something different if they even thought that it was an option. Cause part yes. of it too is homeschoolers have unique brains. Like you guys are special and have a special part of your brain. That's like, I don't have to do what they tell me. I can do something different, which is yeah. what I love about you guys. Cause I have that same rebellious kind of streak in
yeah.
me. But there's so many people who it literally, these people just buy, if they can afford it, they know that wherever they buy their house is where they're going to school. And that's yes. where we stop thinking about our kids' education. Most people don't think about their kids in education any more than they think about buying a house, because once they buy that house, that's where their kids are going to school.
Right.
And this type of, and if you're me and a conspiracy theorist at some level, then when your kids go to public school, that's basically creating, you already mentioned Hitler Youth. So we'll go to Hitler Youth.
Okay. But
like,
yeah.
We create that, right? Like that, then they're in charge of your kids and they're going to teach them and they're going to create da, 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 da.
Right.
Whereas if we can get more people out of the system, I am like, great. The more people we can get out of the system, the better, because I hand over fist trust you to educate your child better than whatever they're doing over there to control your children's minds. That's the reality. Yeah. And so I think more and more families will have that. I talked with a neighbor up the street, I don't know, a day or two ago, and I had talked to her when we were just homeschooling, and she was like, oh my gosh, I could just never do that. Like, that is not a thing.
Right. That's everybody says. So,
right. Yeah. Right. And I was talking to her, and we have another special needs scholarship that is an ESA here. And I was talking, she was like, well, I ended up applying. I said, oh, he can't keep going though to the elementary school. Like you'd have, and she was like, oh, I didn't totally realize that, but I might be okay with that. Like, it was just, you know, it was finally like she had started thinking like, oh, if there is another option, maybe I would take that. And I think that's where you would get this whole new group of people with very different values and very different beliefs, because they would pull their kids and we would create an entire new generation, like you're talking about, that would just be on fire. And maybe they could go back and have the conversation about whether or not we should be taking taxes anyway.
Yeah. Right. But like, if we have to be the ones teaching them that.
Yep.
And so it opens up more doors. And I think it's interesting too, is that I'm actually noticing this popping up in Utah, even before people knew about this, but women who want to homeschool and they want the social part. Yeah. So they create mini schools in their house.
Yes.
So I actually signed up my three youngest just because I'm so used to having this gaggle of children. And now yes. mine shrunk considerably. So I put my kids in her little thing, and it's like 4 hours a week for my littler ones and 5 hours a week for my teenager. And I am happy. Like, I love her values. I love, like, she's a very Charlotte Mason, well-educated heart, like
it.
Does the beautiful thing. And I know all the kids. But I've seen like other people reach out to me on Instagram, like, hey, I want to start a little school.
Yeah.
And like, I have the time and energy. I have the talent and I know people need it.
Yep.
And I think we're just going to see more and more moms. Like, I don't think that's my calling. I actually really love teaching kids, obviously, but I feel like my calling is educating the moms.
Yeah.
So they don't kill their kids.
Yeah. Good call. Good call.
Right. And so sometimes I'm like, I don't want to teach your kid. Like, I'll just teach mine, but I can teach you how to teach your kid. Right. So stepping into your gifts and your talent. And I just think this is going to open so many more opportunities of people like where my kids are going to go or other people opening this.
Yep. Exactly. And that is, I think that is exactly the powerful thing that happens when we do this, and we've made it super simple. The only thing those parents would have to be able to like receive scholarship money, like I talked in that, you know, in the closed system, is they just have to have a business license. Like, so they have to have an EIN. That's it.
And that's so easy.
Yeah. And Utah's like $35. Like, you file your paperwork, it's like $35 and you have an EIN. Like, it's like super simple. We have great business laws here too.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. I would love for there to be a little school on every street in the state, you know, that's like, five or 10 kids go and they gather and they do school together. I think it'd be awesome.
Okay. So now let's do the flip side.
Okay.
Because I am not anti-teachers. I know some people think because I homeschool that I'm like, burn the schools down and all teachers should die. Like, I'm not.
And I haven't sounded like that at all. So we'll.
Right. Yeah. So, but there is a concern because I do have friends who are teachers.
Yes.
So does this affect their income?
Yeah. So the beautiful part about this bill is it hits where it's most important. It gives the money to the students if they, you know, need a different fit. And we're also increasing teacher salaries in the same bill because
that's awesome.
Teachers absolutely do hard work every day. Like they are there with those kids every day. And when you have had a good teacher, there is nothing that beats a good teacher.
Right.
Like, those incredible good teachers that work with these kids and change heart and minds are just, they're invaluable.
Right.
We cannot lose them. And we have to show them our appreciation and everything that way. And so I think the beautiful part is, one, we're increasing teacher salaries directly in the bill. And two, this will also, the teachers that I've talked with about this, when you really get down into the details with them and say, look, the good kids never end up leaving because they're good. They're working in the system. Like, I'm not going to pull my kid out of a good situation. If they're succeeding and they're happy, like, why would I pull my kid out? Right. They're doing well. But if my kid isn't doing well, then I want to find another option. And every teacher that I've talked to about this can tell me, they're like, I have 30 to 32 kids is usually what I hear. I've got these 32 kids in my class. And I know there are these four or five that are just way ahead of where I am teaching. And they're a distraction and they're super smart and they're bugging the class. Like, all these
things. Yeah, because they're bored.
Because they're bored, right? And I'm constantly having to like monitor this, but I really can't do anything for them because I'm teaching these kids right here. And then I have these five or 10 on this other end that are struggling.
Yes.
And they're just having a hard time. And I can't give enough to them to catch them up to where everyone here in the middle is. And they can only teach here. And so when I talk to them and say, look, the kids who are going to leave are these kids.
Yeah.
They're like, that would be awesome because they want to help them, but they recognize they can't, and they just don't have the time to do it. That's literally what it comes down to, is that there's just not time to do it. And so this helps to pull those kids out who are already struggling, who the teachers know is struggling. It reduces that teacher's stress and all that. It still leaves more money in the system than they're taking out, the kids that are leaving. So you get an increase in the money in the system already. And on top of that, because we love teachers, we're putting a teacher salary increase in it on top of it.
That would be so amazing. Like, because even if you, like, that's 30 kids essentially. And if you went down to 20 kids who are roughly at the same level, who are regular, because public school works for certain minds.
It does.
Right. And some other people, it's absolute nightmare for.
Yep.
Right. So even if you dropped it by 10 kids And you had 20 kids who were like, this works for me. This system works for me. I excel. I do amazing.
Yep.
Like, I think teachers would feel happier.
Right.
Right. Yes. Kid, like, I think bullying and different things like that would go down and different problems within the actual kids and things like that and just going down.
Yep. It would be huge. And that's where you just see, I mean, I look at it when I was the principal, vice principal at the charter high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a charter high school, right? A charter school is a school of choice. And everyone's always afraid, like, oh, all the good kids are going to go to the charter or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. No. The first year, we had an 80% credit deficit, 504 SPED population. 80%
say that in layman terms.
So 80% of the kids were not on track for graduation.
Oh, okay.
And they had some sort of mental illness or disability.
Oh, interesting.
Those are the kids who showed up at the school in the first year. And so there's 80% of all of our kids, like there was 20% of kids that were like excelling and they just wanted to graduate early and get a technical degree with their certificate. But for most of the kids, they were having a really, really hard time in high school.
Yeah.
And their parents brought them here to say, is there something here that can kind of snap them out of it and get them on a better track? And that's why they came to that school. And we had some really great success stories out of the school, but it was a perfect example of when you give a parent an option, the kids who are being successful aren't leaving. It's the kids who are struggling who leave.
So are you getting any pushback from districts and schools about this?
Oh, of course.
Okay. So who gives you more pushback, like the teachers or districts?
The districts and the teachers union. So
the teachers unions. Interesting.
Yeah. So the teachers themselves, like I said, when I sit down and talk with individual teachers, they're like totally fine, like zero issues. The teachers union, they have issues. And you have to understand, like, the union, I don't know how crazy we want to get in onto the union. I just hate the union. I hate the union.
I was going to say, my husband and I, like, we must have a lot of political talks. We were literally talking about the teachers union a few weeks ago. Like, they would be making so much more without the teachers union.
Right. They would. The teachers union hurts good teachers. They protect bad teachers and they hurt good teachers. That's what a union does. Just fundamentally.
Yeah. I was going to say, just study any union through history.
Yes, exactly. That fundamentally unions protect bad people and hurt good ones because they don't allow good ones to be successful. Mm-hmm. And so the union is the largest opposition. And frankly, it all comes down to control. They want to control. They want to control the money and they want to control what's taught and they want to control all the things.
And I think maybe that's why teachers get a bad rap sometimes. Like you do have your lemons in any situation and occupation and all those things. And I think like those unions were like, it is about control and it is about thing that gives some teachers bad raps.
Yep. I think it's totally true. And I think if I ever ask teachers about what their relationship with the union is, they always say it's complicated. Which is like an interesting thing, right? To be like, well, it's complicated. I'm like, okay, is that a Facebook status? Or like, what are we talking about here, right?
In a relationship.
It's like, okay, what is that? And so I think the reality is that there are the lemons. Like, you know, especially like elementary school, if you're enrolling your kid in elementary school, there is a teacher that everyone avoids. That's just a reality. Like, we
and
all
the one
know
everybody wants.
Yes. We all know that. That's just what it is. And so we're all fighting and clamoring for that one teacher. And so the unions really hate this because frankly, they lose control. They lose control because they look at you homeschool parents and they're like, those people are insane.
Right.
And they are crazy and they are doing crazy things to their kids. Like, that's literally, I think, what they think in their head, right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh my gosh, how could a parent do this? They don't have a degree. They're not licensed. They haven't had a mess, like all this stuff. And you're just like, oh my gosh, please. Like, I would take a parent teaching their child any day of the week over someone who's got all these list of degrees.
Oh yeah. I could go to get on my soapbox for a very long time.
Yeah, right. And so they really hate it. Because they lose control and like the superintendents association and the districts and all that, because they lose control and they have had control for a really, really long time. And
they've had a monopoly.
They have. And who does, you know, if you have total control, I mean, it's kind of like when I had kids, suddenly I realized I didn't have control and I fought that for a long time, right? Like, it's like, oh, what's going on? And so they hate it because I think they, because they trust degrees and teachers more than they trust parents.
Oh my goodness, that's so interesting. I read a book not too long ago and it ended up being a business book. And I was like, oh, I thought this was something completely different. But it was talking about not trusting a degree over experience. Because so often people will hire like Allison. Okay, great. You have all these impressive degrees.
Yeah.
Meg, you have nothing. You did high school and you barely got by. Like, who am I going to pick? Right. Yep. And it's like,
totally.
Yeah, I see it all the time.
Yep. I've thought about, you know, like you can get like a pastor license or like basically online, right? Like get online and get a marriage. I'm like, can I get online to just get like PhD at the end of my name? Like, what do I need to do? To just like put three letters. Like, I just need to put a couple letters at the end of my name. No one needs to know what they mean. But if I just had a couple letters there, then you like have more credibility, right? But it's like, no, like people with real world experience, and that's who I want teaching my kids, really. It's like, no, I want the person who's been in the trenches or who's the engineer who designed this or that.
Well, that's if you've ever heard of Praxis, it's an alternative for college, right?
Yes.
And very entrepreneur mindset. And it's so interesting because my husband's been an entrepreneur our whole entire marriage. And we were laughing at this entrepreneur teacher who had never had an entrepreneur job. And he was like, you can't like teach this.
You can't.
It's like when you get a male OBGYN and he's like,
what do you mean? Yes. No, that's exactly it. And that's, I actually think it's so interesting. And one of the kind of things that I think doing something like Utah Fits All fixes is if you think about teachers and education, they are government employees. Like in the end, that is what they are. And so you kind of get that mindset through the entire thing. And so when you find these really great teachers who are a little more entrepreneurial or something in that system, unfortunately, they don't survive for very long. A lot of, we have like alternative routes to licensure and other things in the state. And when you see, they drop off really fast because most of these people have had real world experience. And then they come into the system and it's just like, I don't know how to wait, but I think there should be a hole in this wall right here. Like, I don't want to walk all the way down this wall to get to this room or whatever. And that is kind of the struggle. And part of this will break that up because we get,
it's breaking up the conveyor belt.
Exactly. Which I love, you know, have you seen Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall music video?
I haven't seen the music video, but my 5-year-old has been singing, "Teachers, leave them peace alone." And my husband goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I didn't even play this song. The kids must have liked it."
Okay, you'll have to go look it up later. That's a little tidbit. It's a fantastic music video about education.
Is it Sir Ken Robinson? Is that his name?
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I believe he's British, sir. Yes. Okay. And so, but he has a great TED talk or just video of the conveyor belt of education.
Oh, of education. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what it is, which it came out of the Industrial Revolution. So it actually makes perfect sense that that's what it is.
For factory workers.
Yes. It just doesn't work for today and it hasn't really changed much. And so we just got to change it.
Yeah.
Mixed up. Okay.
So what do, if you were in Utah, what do you do? Do you, and you have your website, utahfitsall.com.
Yep. Yep. So go to the website, utahfitsall.com, and you can get information and things there. You can join on the mailing list. So we'll get you like a weekly email. There's also, we have Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter that you can follow. I don't know how to do TikTok. I think I'm technically a millennial. I am like, I don't have a millennial.
I'm too conspiracy theorist for TikTok.
There you go. Yeah. So,
but you have where you talk to your representative right there on the website.
And right in the bottom corner, it says talk to your rep. And it's a super simple form.
So easy.
So easy. Yep. You just like get in and type in your address and it'll pull up who your representatives are. And there's a little, like, we've kind of like written a little sample email.
Yeah, left it.
Which is great. You can totally just leave it. Or you can put in like your own little story or totally edit it or whatever you want. So you can put in the information there and then send it off to your rep. You can also call them from there or send them a tweet. For those Twitter warriors, Twitter is like a world in and of itself.
I don't like Twitter.
Yeah, especially the Elon coming back. It is like, whoa, this is like a whole new world over there. So
yeah.
But if you do that, a lot of the legislators are on Twitter, and so it'll send a tweet to them.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is kind of just another way to get in their ear. But that is the most important thing. It's pretty impressive. Most legislators, like 10 emails is all they really need to be like, oh, okay. And there's so many, if you think about government and everything that it has its hands in now, they are dealing with so many issues and so many different things. This is where it comes back to you being a vigilant citizen. Like, unless you are that vigilant citizen who is like paying attention and telling them, hey, this is what's important to me, this is what's going on, they really don't get it. We legislative session is 45 days.
Yeah.
It is fast and burns fast, and it's, and we're done. And so they really depend on you. It's going to be you, or it's going to be a lobbyist.
Right.
So you decide how you feel about that, but that's who they're going to get information from when it comes to how they're voting. And so it's so important that you get on in any issue that you want. And this is obviously something we care about, and we would love your support to email them.
Okay. What about people outside of Utah? So I know Arizona is the one I've been comparing to, and I actually went and read on their website, and it's pretty similar to this.
Yep.
So Arizona already has something in place,
yep.
But what about other people in different states? If they're like, how do I get this in my state? What could they do?
I love it. Yes. So there is, there's probably an organization in your state, but there's a handful of states. So I know Texas is working on some stuff up here in Texas. I know Missouri is going to be working on some stuff. Iowa is going to work on stuff. Florida already has an incredible system. I don't know if they're expanding anything. I mean, they've got so many options in Florida. So that's a great place to go and look. West Virginia got theirs up and running as well. I think Indiana is looking at something. South Carolina just put forward something as well. So those are like a handful of places. The other place you could just go to find, you could search on, there's like a handful. If you Googled education choice and your state name, you would find information on where to go, like where to go to find somebody. Does that make sense? Like there would be either like a national group who could point you to a state person. There's going to be somebody in the state that does it, but they could point you to something, or you could find information on your state.
So, hey, super duper powerful. I love it. That's freedom fighters. That's what,
that's right. We are, we're functional freedom fighters, right?
Yeah. Well, it has been absolutely wonderful to sit and talk with you today. So thank you so much for taking your time, and best of luck in legislation.
Yes. Thank you so much, Meg.
Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there.